All right, so we've done intrinsic pathway. What are the two major drugs that inhibit the intrinsic pathway for our purposes? Heparin and Lovenox. What's the difference between heparin and Lovenox? Lovenox is a low molecular weight, which means it has a short tail, which means it'll have a longer half-life, more predictable dosing, less monitoring of the patient, fewer side effects, but more expensive. Now, but it works the same way. Now we're going to talk about the extrinsic pathway. The extrinsic pathway, there's only one drug in the United States that does that, and that's warfarin. Warfarin started out as rat poison. Now, I don't understand this concept. Sprinkle this stuff around the house, the rat will eat it and bleed to death on your floor or in your attic. Yuck. But I guess that was the plan. So it started out as rat poison, and now we feed it to humans. So the warfarin and Coumadin are the same thing. Warfarin, Coumadin, Coumadin, warfarin, say it. So if you go to the VA, they don't give Coumadin, they only give warfarin. The VA just likes to use generic names. But if you go anywhere else in the world, chances are you're going to hear the word Coumadin instead of warfarin. They are exactly the same thing. There's generic versions now, but Coumadin, warfarin, interchangeable. All right. So again, the way warfarin works is by inhibiting these clotting factors from being produced at all. And the way it does that is by interfering with vitamin K. So if we give a person a dose of warfarin, does it destroy the existing clotting factors? No, it doesn't. So if we give a person warfarin, does it begin working therapeutically the moment you give it? No. It actually takes 3 to 7 days before it becomes therapeutic, because you have to use up the existing clotting factors. So what happens if a person takes extra vitamin K? You tell me. What do you think the antidote to warfarin is? Vitamin K. So it decreases the effectiveness, and you can actually completely reverse its effects by giving vitamin K. So we have to educate our patients who are on warfarin to eat low vitamin K diets. Now, if you do not like broccoli and spinach, you're in the clear, because those are the foods that have a lot of vitamin K. Cruciferous leafy green vegetables. So these factors, what produces them? What vitamin is necessary for them? Vitamin K. The way Coumadin works is by inhibiting vitamin K. So it's not going to start working at first, because you have to use up the existing clotting factors, which means that the moment we give it, it's going to take approximately 3 to 7 days before it becomes therapeutic. Now, here's the number one take-home message. If a patient is on heparin and you start warfarin or Coumadin, do you take them off the heparin immediately? No. Why not? Because that could have 3 to 7 days where they're not therapeutic, and they could clot and die in that time. I guarantee you'll have a question on your final that tests that thought. Right, so if they're on heparin and you start them on warfarin, you don't take away the heparin until they're therapeutic on the warfarin. So what number do we use to monitor warfarin? The INR. So with heparin, we're monitoring what number? PTT. Now we give them warfarin and we're monitoring INR. We keep them on the heparin until the INR is therapeutic. So what is the therapeutic INR? What's a normal INR? 1. Okay, so what would an INR of 2 mean? It means twice as long. So a therapeutic INR generally is 2 to 3. So you're also going to have a question on your final exam, or at least on a quiz coming near you. Definitely next semester you'll have questions like this. You have a patient who's on warfarin. Their INR is 1.8. What do they need to have happen to them? Do we keep the dose the same? Do we make it go up, or do we make it go down? All right, so we want it to go up because it's too low. If we've got a patient who's got an INR of 3.5, what are we going to do for that patient? We're going to lower the dose. If you've got a patient who's got an INR of 4.5, what are you going to do? You might hold the next dose and then give them a lower dose. Once it goes above about 4.5, you begin to become a little bit more worried. There was actually a home health nurse who killed a patient not too long ago here in Palm Beach County because she wasn't monitoring the INRs properly. The guy had an INR of like 5, and she was just kept giving the Coumadin. So a patient ended up dying. Now they're suing the nurse and the home health care agency. And the doctor also, I think, and maybe the lab. You know, everyone gets sued in these cases. So we want to make sure that, you know, we're not messing around with these drugs. You can kill people quite easily if you're not paying attention. Now, it's not that hard. I mean, it's not that easy to kill someone. You really have to kind of have your head in the sand or up a tree or up your... But it can be done without too much trouble if you're one of those types of people. So the most important thing with INR is make sure that it's in the therapeutic range. What's our therapeutic range? 2 to 3. Now, there's one exception, and that exception is for someone who has a mechanical heart valve. Now, a mechanical heart valve is a steel cage with a little ball that goes up and down in it. And as it goes up and down, it breaks red blood cells open. And those red blood cells being broken open cause clots to occur. So for mechanical heart valves, your therapeutic range is actually going to be 3.5 to 4.5. But for everyone else, that would be considered too high. Right. Or, yeah, there you go. Say again? Anyone with a mechanical heart valve. Now, a mechanical heart valve, again, is the metal one. There's also biological heart valves. You can get them from pigs. You can get them from some other places. So those don't require so high an INR. But if it's a mechanical one, the metal one, that needs a higher INR. All right, so we talked about this, talked about that. It absorbs very easily in the stomach. It crosses the blood-brain barrier, crosses the placenta and into milk. So it also causes birth defects. What's the term for a drug that causes birth defects? Teratogenic. So it's teratogenic, which means that our little baby might be born bloody and deformed. So if a person who needs to be on anticoagulants is thinking about getting pregnant, what do we want that person to do? Change from warfarin to heparin. And what would the most likely dose of the heparin be? 5,000 units subcutaneously twice a day. No, we already talked about that. Oh, this comedy of errors right here. The reason I put that down is because I saw this in a hospital chart once. Yes. It was one of those times where the patient had been on heparin, warfarin was ordered, and then what happened was they stopped the heparin and started the warfarin, and the patient got a clot before they became therapeutic. And the doctor described this as a comedy of errors is what caused that to happen. No, it was incompetence on the part of the nurse and the physician.
So that's called comedy of errors?
No, that was just what he called it.
Oh, that's what he called it?
Yeah. It's not a comedy, but it was an error. It's a tragedy is what it really is. You know, and the hospital can end up getting sued. You know, the nurse should know better. The physician should know better. They should have both been checking. But neither one was doing their job. So we have a comedy of errors to explain the problem. Now, warfarin interacts with a ton of questions. Two to five. Yeah. The concept is what's important. That it takes a couple days to build up, so you're going to monitor INR, and you're not going to take them off the heparin until the INR is between 2 and 3. Except for a heart valve patient, where it should be between 3.5 to 4.5. All right, so reasons why a person would be on warfarin or Coumadin. First one is to prevent DVTs and pulmonary embolism. Yes, ma'am. Okay, interacts with everything, including the kitchen sink. What we mean there is that it interacts with a ton of other drugs. It seems like if you're on warfarin, you can't take anything without having to monitor your dose to see if your INR goes up or down. So some drugs make it work better. Some drugs make it work less. All right, prevent DVT and pulmonary embolism is the first thing we can use it for. We can also use it for prevention of thrombus in mechanical heart valves and prevent thrombus in atrial fibrillation. So let's go back to our atrial fibrillation for a moment. We've got this patient whose heart is fibrillating. We put him on heparin. We got rid of the clots. We did the transesophageal echocardiogram. We tried to cardiovert him, and it didn't work. He's still in AFib. So we're going to send him home now, still in AFib. What are we going to do? What are we going to send him home on? Warfarin. Also, these are off-label, which means that the FDA has not approved these. Reduced TIAs, which is angina for your brain. It's like sometimes called mini strokes. And then reduced recurrent myocardial infarctions. This is typically after the person has had their heart attack. We send them home on warfarin for 6 months to a year. And then usually they get taken off. By the way, what does the word indication mean in terms of drugs, pharmaceutics, pharmacology? Okay, it's not the drug company that says it. It's the FDA. So indications are what the FDA says you can use this for. Off-label uses are things that we found. It might work for these too, but the FDA hasn't said so yet. All right, we talked about the PT-INR as far as therapeutic range. The first day you give it, well, you take the PT-INR before you give it, and then you measure it the same day. You measure it daily for 5 days. So we're going to put Joe on Coumadin. Before I give him the first dose, what should I check? The INR. So tomorrow I'm going to check the INR again. The next day I'm going to check the INR again. And the next day, I'm going to check the INR again. And the next day, I'm going to check the INR again. So for 5 days, I'm going to check the INR every day. Then, go ahead.
So the person's out of the hospital. This is an outpatient thing. They have to go back
to a clinic, right. Yeah, or you can have a home health nurse come and do it in your home. It's just a finger stick now.
Finger stick?
Yeah. And you can do it from drawn blood, but it's just a finger stick. Then we're going to do it twice a week for the next 2 weeks, and then once a week for the next 2 months, and then every 2 to 4 weeks after that. So, and then any time a patient starts or stops a drug that might interact with warfarin, we're going to check it again. So a person being on warfarin is at minimum going to get their INR checked once a month, and at most, every day. And one of the interesting things is that heparin can interfere with INR sometimes, so it can screw up your readings there as well. All right, adverse effects. The number one is bleeding. So patients who are on warfarin should always, always, always have a medic alert bracelet that would tell any paramedics that they're at risk for bleeding because they take warfarin. You need to tell dentists and surgeons that you're on warfarin before you go in for the surgery or dental procedure. You know, you don't want to be in the chair, they're about to numb you, and go, by the way, doctor, I wanted you to know that I'm on warfarin. That's not good. In babies, it can cause fetal hemorrhage and fetal hemorrhage and birth defects. And it can also cross the breast milk, but interestingly enough, they apparently, I guess it's in low enough amounts where they usually don't say you can't breastfeed on it. I have a couple friends who are on warfarin and were breastfeeding while they're on it, and their babies didn't bleed, so, and their doctors told them to do it, so okay. All right, drug interactions. It interacts with a ton of other drugs. So patients absolutely must not just buy stuff over the counter and use it, because a lot of stuff in over-the-counter drugs like ibuprofen and aspirin can increase the bleeding times, make a person more likely to bleed. Even Tylenol can make a person more likely to more likely to breed. And Monistat, what is Monistat? It's an antifungal that women can buy over the counter for yeast infections. You can also get it in a tube to treat ringworm with. That can also interact with warfarin. So again, people who are on warfarin should not just be going out and treating themselves over the counter. And if the person is toxic, what are we going to give? Vitamin K. All right, that is anticoagulant.